live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 20th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
New restrictions take hold as COVID infections surge. Team coverage straight ahead.
As states and cities shut business, Joe Biden waves off calls for a nationwide lockdown.
And the Fed and the Treasury spar over emergency pandemic relief programs.
New York utilities face fines from storm outages. Plus, President Trump will meet with Michigan Republicans in a bid to overturn the Biden vote. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Knicks cut six players and freed up $40 million in salary cap space. NFL Seattle beat Arizona.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are mixed this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 93, and NASDAQ futures are higher, up about 2, but they're dropping. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, the CAC in Paris up 0.4%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.84%, the yield on the 2-year 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $41.76 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.50 at $18.66.10 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, fresh restrictions are taking hold across the country as the pandemic continues to surge. We have Bloomberg Radio team coverage on the measures, beginning with Michael Barr in New York. Michael?
Nathan, New York City public schools are closed, and now
it's just a matter of time before indoor dining will close. And other types of things, gyms, other things.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says it will likely happen in the next week or two. De Blasio says the city is facing a new challenge with this second wave bearing down. He noted that Governor Cuomo has said all of New York City could be declared an orange zone under the state's guidelines. New York's seven-day average infection rate is just above 3%. The city's public school buildings are closed at least through Thanksgiving weekend. I'm Michael Barr in New York. Now here's Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
California is imposing a 10 p.m. curfew for 94% of the residents as cases surge throughout the state. Governor Gavin Newsom has already urged Californians to avoid travel and scale back Thanksgiving gatherings or cancel them. But he says today, quote, we are sounding the alarm. Hospitalizations have risen 64% in 2 weeks in the state. Los Angeles County sees a 147% increase in cases just since November 1st. I'm Ed Baxter in San Francisco. Now here's Janet Wu on new restrictions hitting Rhode Island.
Rhode Island is shutting down after Thanksgiving and limiting gatherings to single households effective immediately. Governor Raimondo says the state will shut for 2 weeks after the holiday to prevent a surge in cases and hospitalizations. From November 30th through December 13th, colleges and universities must go online. Bars, gyms, casinos, and offices that can must close. As for schools, K through 8th grades can remain in the classroom, but high schools will be limited. Janet Wu, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Janet, thank you. And as restrictions hit regions across the country, there's a new development on the medical front. The World Health Organization is now recommending not using Gilead's drug remdesivir to treat patients. The WHO said there's no evidence it improves survival or prevents ventilation. Less than a month ago, U.S. regulators granted remdesivir a speedy approval for use on hospitalized patients.
Well, meantime, fresh restrictions are prompting concerns about the economic recovery as infections rise. You can't rule out another recession in the coming months. That's according to Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan.
It is possible we could have negative growth if this resurgence gets bad enough and mobility falls off enough so that local officials, even though they don't want to do more restrictions, they don't have a choice. So the next couple of quarters is going to be very challenging.
Kaplan spoke in an interview with Bloomberg Radio and Television. He said the next 6 months will be tough, but he does expect strong growth next year.
While cities and states restrict activity, Joe Biden is waving off calls for a nationwide measure. The president-elect is once again saying he won't impose a countrywide lockdown.
No national shutdown, because every region, every area, every community can be different. And so there's no circumstance which I can see would require a total national shutdown. I think that would be counterproductive.
The U.S. reported another 187,000 infections yesterday. The CDC is advising Americans not to travel for Thanksgiving or gather with people outside their household.
Joe Biden is also making moves to fill out his cabinet. The president-elect says he's picked a Treasury secretary and promises an announcement in the coming weeks.
You'll find it is someone who I think will be accepted by all elements of the Democratic Party, from the progressive to the moderate coalitions.
Among the names being mentioned, former Fed Governor Roger Ferguson, former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, and current Fed Governor Lyle Brainard.
Meantime, the current Treasury Secretary finds himself in a rare public fight with the Fed over emergency lending programs. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, it's a moment of discord that has rattled investors. The Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, released a letter to Fed Chair Jay Powell demanding the central bank return unused stimulus money. Minutes later, the Fed issued a statement urging the funds for its full suite of measures be maintained. We spoke with Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic just after this disagreement became public.
I was a bit surprised, and I have to say that right after that announcement, the Federal Reserve Board came out with a statement expressing their interest in extending them to keep them available, and that's pretty much where I am.
The Treasury and the Fed typically coordinate closely at times of crisis. Tony Fratto, who worked at the Treasury during the second Bush administration, calls this incident a complete breakdown at a critical time for the economy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Back at the White House, President Trump's expected to participate in Asia's largest summit today. He's scheduled to join virtual meetings for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, making a rare appearance since his election defeat.
Meantime, four top House Democrats are demanding the head of the General Services Administration give a first-person briefing by Monday. They want answers on the Trump administration's refusal to allow Biden's transition team access to government services, a decision by GSA Administrator Emily Murphy would free up millions of dollars for the transition. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. And for more on what's going on around the world, we welcome back Michael Barr. Michael, once again, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump invited the Republican leaders of the Michigan legislature to the White House today. Some of the president's allies have said he should seek to persuade Republican legislatures to overrule voters and give him the state's electoral college votes. It comes as a federal judge denied a bid to halt Georgia's certification of its election results, despite Trump's lawyers claiming that they can overturn President-elect Joe Biden's victory. The rejected suit had sought to prevent Georgia's Secretary of State from certifying the vote tally today. Trump's personal attorney and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
It's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states.
According to a hand recount, Biden won the state and its 16 electoral votes by more than 12,000 votes. Today is Joe Biden's birthday. Biden turned 78 today and is said to be the oldest U.S. president in history. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is calling on utilities to pay $137 million in fines for their response to Tropical Storm Isaias, which knocked out power in August to millions of people and left some in the dark for a week.
They want to say the storm is the reason why the service was disrupted. I want to say I understand that, and we're reasonable. New Yorkers are reasonable, but we're paying you for the service of restoring power after the storm.
The state plans to fine Con Ed $121 million and Central Hudson Gas and Electric $16 million. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says we will know in the next few days when public schools in the city may reopen after a coronavirus shutdown.
To all the families, to all the parents, to all the kids, that is a tough day. It was a tough decision yesterday. It was not something anyone could possibly be happy about.
Parents demonstrated yesterday at New York City Hall calling for schools to reopen. New Jersey lawmakers advanced legislation for recreational pot but differed on key details. Voters overwhelmingly approved it this month. A key difference between the Senate and Assembly bills involves caps on the number of licenses. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:08. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Happy Friday, John Stasher.
All right, thanks, Nathan. No miracle finish this time for Kyler Murray. 4 days after Murray threw that game-winning Hail Mary, Arizona was down 7. Murray drove them to the Seattle 27-yard line, but 3 incompletions and a sack in the final minute. The Seahawks held on to beat the Cardinals 28-21. They moved back into sole possession of first place NFC West. What a blow to the Golden State Warriors, who had to play all of last season without All-Star Klay Thompson. He had torn his ACL in the 2019 NBA Finals. Thompson was playing a pickup game with some NBA players, tore his Achilles. He now has to miss another entire season. Most felt Gordon Hayward would opt in with the Celtics. Why turn down $34 million? But he's opting out. Adrian Wojnarowski covers the NBA for ESPN.
Hayward could also sign with a team who has salary cap space. The New York Knicks would love to have Hayward, but he's looking for a longer deal, a deal he can get through that sign and trade with Boston. I think his role had diminished in Boston with Jason Tatum, with Jaylen Brown, and he's ready to start over somewhere else.
And one reason Hayward could be coming to the Knicks is they just cut 6 players to free up $40 million more in salary cap space, among those departing Elfrid Payton, Bobby Portis, and Taj Gibson. 83-year-old Lou Holtz has tested positive for COVID. Holtz won a national championship at Notre Dame. He coached the Jets for one season back in 1976. 2021 baseball season will begin Thursday, April 1st. Yankees will host Toronto. Mets will be in Washington. The hope is fans will be allowed in. Father-son golf event next month in Orlando. Tiger Woods has entered to play with his 11-year-old son. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures moving lower this morning. They're down 8 points. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures, little change. They've been swinging between gains and losses a bit. Right now they're down 5 points. European stocks mostly higher this morning. The DAX is up 0.4%. The CAC in Paris up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.83%. 2-year yield 0.16%. Now, this is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And European stocks are gaining. U.S. stock index futures, they're trimming their declines as investors hold out hopes that top officials on both continents will resolve disputes over unleashing further stimulus for their battered economies. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6 points this morning. Dow futures down 61. NASDAQ futures down 2.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 0.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 2 cents at $41.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $4 at $18.65.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1858 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3283. And the yen is at 103.81. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump invited the Republican leaders of the Michigan legislature to the White House today, according to a person familiar with the matter. The president seeks to erase his defeat in the state's November 3rd election. It comes as a hand tally of the ballots cast in the presidential race in Georgia has been completed. The results released by the Secretary of State's office affirm Democrat Joe Biden's narrow lead over President Trump. The Secretary of State's office will certify the election results today. In Thursday night football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals 28-21. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. We want to get more on some of the policy developments out of Washington. There certainly have been a lot of those in just the last few hours. Greg Vallier joins us now, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, not the least of which development, of course, Greg, is this rare public spat between the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on whether to continue with emergency facilities during the pandemic. When we're in the middle of a huge coronavirus surge, it seems like this break couldn't have come at a worse time.
This is getting increasingly bizarre on so many fronts, Nathan, and obviously a spat between Treasury and the Fed is unprecedented. The markets are going to have to worry that this could jeopardize any kind of stimulus bill, and you do have to ask the question, what are Mnuchin's objectives? What are his motives here? Does he want to jumpstart talks? I don't see any interest by Trump to do that. Does he want to just sort of burn things down on the way out? Does he want to sabotage the economy ahead of Biden's inauguration? A lot of speculation this morning, but this is a really unprecedented story.
Well, where do you see this going? I mean, given the unprecedented nature of this, is there a possibility that we could see something like stimulus talks revived by a move like this?
We might. That might be the motive. And there were signals yesterday that Schumer and McConnell may be getting closer to negotiating, but they are so far away on dollars. I mean, I don't think McConnell and the Republicans want much more than $500 billion, and the Democrats still want $2 trillion. That's a pretty wide gap. But if they start to talk, that's encouraging.
We have the Fed meeting next month. Could this lead to additional moves when it comes to the balance sheet on the Federal Reserve's part?
Yeah, good point, Nathan. I do think that the Fed is getting closer to announcing purchases of even more treasuries to drive rates even lower. They don't have a lot more options with the Fed funds rate at zero and now having some of their money taken away. So I do think they may buy more treasuries.
Now, talking about other wild developments in just the last 24 hours, we heard Michael Barr report this morning that President Trump is inviting leaders of the Michigan state legislature to the White House to talk about the election result certification. We saw Rudy Giuliani's press conference yesterday. What is going on when it comes to the president's fight against this election result?
It's really extraordinary. The bizarre Rudy Giuliani press conference, talked about absurd conspiracy theories that involved Hugo Chavez, who's been dead for 8 years, involving the Chinese, all of these things that have a more serious bottom line, and that is you've got a president who's going to pressure today Michigan voting officials to decertify a Biden win. Biden won Michigan by 157,000 votes.
Is there anything more to this besides a pressure campaign? Can this really have an impact, or is this just noise?
It will not have a big impact. I think that any effort to decertify in Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan will fail. Most constitutional scholars are aghast, but they agree that it will fail. However, you've got the Trump base, and there was a poll yesterday showing that 70% of Republicans feel the election was stolen. And there's no evidence. It's totally baseless claims. I think this lays the groundwork for Trump to at least think about running again in 2024.
What about Republican support in Washington for this? We haven't heard much criticism from Republican leaders on Capitol Hill when it comes to these efforts. I think the only figures we've heard from so far are Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse, obviously prominent figures, but not in leadership roles. How much longer can Republicans go on tacitly, at least without public commentary on this to allow this to go on?
It's still another sorry spectacle in this post-election climate that so few Republicans have spoken out. I mean, this is outrageous, trying to deny the results of an election. There's also talk of maybe having state legislatures send their own delegates to the Electoral College on December 14th. You have to have more Republicans speak out. I think there's great pressure on Mitch McConnell to go to the White House, as Republicans did a few decades ago with Richard Nixon, and say, look, you've got to stop this. This is not good for the country.
Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. We'll have to leave it there for now, but I'm sure we're going to be talking much more in the days and weeks to come as the drama in Washington continues during this lame duck session. Taking a look at the markets this morning, we're seeing continued declines after yesterday's sell-off on the public rift between the Fed chairman and the Treasury Secretary. Right now, S&P futures are lower by 6 points. Dow futures down 59. NASDAQ futures, a decline of just about 3 points. That's a little change. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield now 0.84% on a 10-year note. The 2-year yield 0.16%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Fresh restrictions are taking hold across the country as the pandemic continues to surge. New York City has closed public schools, and Mayor Bill de Blasio says restaurants and gyms could be next.
Those restrictions are coming. So for everyone who honestly might feel somehow a little better if they knew that indoor dining was going to be closed or gyms were going to be closed, I'm sorry to tell you that for the sake of those business owners and everyone who loves those gyms and loves indoor dining, it's just a matter of time.
Well, on the West Coast, time has run out. California is imposing a month-long curfew on 94% of the population. The move comes as the U.S. records another 187,000 daily infections, and the White House holds its first coronavirus briefing in months. Dr. Deborah Birx.
Behind this level of community spread is a lot of asymptomatic cases. People are spreading the virus because they don't know they are infected with the virus.
While cities and states restrict activity, Joe Biden is waving off calls for a nationwide lockdown.
Because every region, every area, every community can be different. And so there's no circumstance which I can see would require a total national shutdown.
Well, there's also a new development on the medical front. The World Health Organization is now recommending not using Gilead's drug remdesivir to treat patients. The WHO says there's no evidence it improves survival or prevents ventilation.
Turning to pandemic relief now, we're seeing a rare public dispute brewing between the Treasury and the Federal Reserve. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And outgoing Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin released a letter to the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell demanding the return of money used for emergency lending programs. The Fed then issued a statement essentially disagreeing with the request. Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic weighed in on Bloomberg Radio and TV, saying the Fed's emergency lending programs need to stay in place.
Given sort of where the economy is, and there's so much uncertainty that's still out there, it's prudent to keep those things open so that when people, if they do have stress, can draw upon it.
Well, the spat left investors rattled, sending stock futures lower and Treasury prices higher. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 50, NASDAQ futures down 2, and the euro 1.1856 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Now let's bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump invited the Republican leaders of the Michigan legislature to the White House today as he seeks to erase his defeat in the state's November 3rd election. Some of the president's allies have said he should seek to persuade Republican legislatures in several states he's contesting, including Michigan and Pennsylvania, to overrule voters and give him the state's electoral college votes. Trump's personal attorney and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani repeated claims that have not been proven.
The only surprise I would have found in this is if Philadelphia hadn't cheated in this election, because for the last 60 years, they've cheated in just about every single election. You could say the same thing about Detroit.
President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will meet in person today with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer in Delaware. Yesterday, Biden expanded on his frustrations with the Trump administration's stonewalling.
Let me choose my words here. I think they're witnessing incredible irresponsibility.
Meanwhile, Republican Senator Mitt Romney denounced President Trump over his continuing campaign to reverse his defeat in the presidential election, calling it undemocratic. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants utilities to pay up for Tropical Storm Isaias power failures. Cuomo is calling on Con Ed and Central Hudson Gas and Electric to pay $137 million in fines for storm outages in August.
We once again had delays from the utility companies. Utility companies once again said to me, oh, what can we do? We had a storm. I once again said, we pay you to handle and be prepared for storms. That's the essence of the agreement that we have with you.
The utilities have a right to contest the penalties. New York's Attorney General is said to have sent a subpoena to the Trump Organization for records related to consulting fees paid to Ivanka Trump as part of an investigation into the president's business dealings. That's according to a law enforcement official who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. The New York Times reported that a similar subpoena was sent to President Trump's company by the Manhattan District Attorney, who is conducting a parallel probe. The Times reported that the president reduced his company's tax liability by deducting some consulting fees as business expense. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Week 11 NFL underway with two of the three teams tied atop the NFC West, and Seattle able to avenge an earlier loss to Arizona. The Seahawks won 28-21. Both Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray threw two touchdown passes. The Giants are off Sunday. The Jets will try again to get in the win column. They visit the 2-7 LA Chargers. Big game Sunday night in Las Vegas. The Raiders are the only team to have beaten Kansas City over the Chiefs' last 18 games, but the Raiders could be without as many as 10 defensive players. All are right now on the COVID list. Gordon Hayward and the Celtics seem like a perfect fit. Hayward was an all-star in Utah looking for a better team. Brad Stevens was his college coach. But 3 years ago, in the first minute of his first game in Boston, Hayward suffered a leg injury. While he made it back, he was never the player he was with the Jazz. And now Hayward has decided to opt out in Boston, rejecting $34 million for next season to try his hand at unrestricted free agency. And some think Hayward might sign with the Knicks. They just cut six players and freed up $40 million in salary cap space. The Warriors went from five straight trips to the NBA Finals to being the NBA's worst team. The hope was that with a healthy Klay Thompson, they could return to their winning ways. But Thompson, after healing from a torn ACL, now has a torn Achilles. He'll miss another entire season. More college football COVID-related cancellations. Maryland, who couldn't play Ohio State last week, won't play Michigan State tomorrow. Mike Loxley, the Maryland coach, tested positive. So has 83-year-old former Notre Dame coach Lou Holtz. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Townhouses are outperforming co-ops and condos in New York City's real estate market. 13 Manhattan single-family homes went into contract in October, a 44% spike from the same month last year, according to Douglas Elliman. Contracts for condos plummeted 28% during the same period. New Jersey lawmakers have advanced legislation setting up a new recreational marijuana marketplace. The Assembly Appropriations Committee and the Senate Budget Committee passed legislation Thursday. The two chambers will now have to iron out their differences before going to a floor vote. Companies reopening offices during the pandemic are worried about their own legal exposure if staffers get sick. Employment lawyers tell Dow Jones the pandemic has required compliance with the kind of complex workplace safety regulations that, until recently, applied more to industrial settings than to offices. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. America's biggest oil storage hub is filling to the brim again.
I'm Jeff Bellinger. And on COGO in San Diego, I'm reporting on life sciences becoming the in thing for San Diego area real estate investors.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the Chancellor's spending review, which is likely to freeze pay for public sector workers like teachers and police officers, as Rishi Sunak tries to keep a lid on soaring government spending.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Verizon selling the Huffington Post to BuzzFeed.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another corporate story we're watching, General Motors laying the groundwork for a bigger bet on electric vehicles. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
GM told investors at a virtual conference it plans to boost spending on EVs by more than a third to $27 billion as part of a push to introduce 30 battery-powered models by 2025. The initiative represents an increased investment of $7 billion and 10 more EVs than previously planned, including some that will be cheaper than $35,000. The announcement comes as rival automakers plan dozens of new all-electric models, which could benefit from EV-friendly policy changes expected under the Biden administration. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And finally, online video game company Roblox has filed for an IPO. It's trying to capitalize on a pandemic-fueled sales surge and the growing popularity of its platform. Roblox hosts millions of games built by its users who get a share of any related revenue. It says two-thirds of all U.S. kids ages 9 to 12 use the platform. Futures are mixed now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are gaining. U.S. stock index futures, they're mixed. Investors are holding out hopes that top officials on both continents will resolve disputes over unleashing further stimulus for their battered economies. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 2.5 points. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures moving higher, up 8.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. And so is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.7% or 27 cents at $42.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.70 at $1,866.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1858 against the dollar. British pound 1.3279. And the yen is at 103.82. And we are watching shares of Pfizer this morning, up almost 2% in early trading after a report that the European Union could pay $10 billion for vaccines. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a federal judge in Atlanta denied a bid to halt Georgia's certification of its election results. It hands President Donald Trump another setback despite claims that his lawyers can overturn President-elect Joe Biden's victory. The Associated Press reports New York's Attorney General has sent a subpoena to the Trump Organization for records related to consulting fees paid to Ivanka Trump as part of an investigation into the president's business dealings. The New York Times reported that a similar subpoena was sent to President Trump's company by the Manhattan District Attorney, who is conducting a parallel probe. Ivanka Trump tweeted that the subpoenas were harassment, pure and simple. In Thursday night football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals 28-21. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the annual Bloomberg New Economy Forum has wrapped up now. Of course, the pandemic was a prominent theme at this year's event. Preparing for a situation like this is something Bill Gates has been passionate about for a while. The Microsoft co-founder sat down with Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite for a conversation on the pandemic. Let's listen back to some of that now.
In the case of the U.S., the only thing they've done well is they funded more R&D, not just for U.S.-based companies, but for companies around the world, including a lot of these European constructs. And, you know, that was a good thing. That was a favor to the world. The rest of it, the U.S. is sort of at the back of the pack, the diagnostic work we did, the messaging. You know, even today, the messaging is reaching a new level of incoherence.
But you look at the numbers. I just looked again on the Bloomberg virus tracker. You look at the deaths for every million people. America's now close to 750 deaths. China, the other great participant in this conference, is around 3 deaths for every million people. Obviously, you know, one number may be a bit overcounted, the other bit undercounted, but by any measure, one country has done enormously better than the other. Why has the U.S. been so bad compared with other people?
I don't think comparing China and the U.S. is that helpful, because China has a more authoritarian control over behavior than the U.S. Does. But if you compare the U.S. to South Korea, Australia, the contrast is every bit as dramatic as it is with China. And so we didn't catch the epidemic at that early stage where the numbers are small before they get exponentially big. And we are facing, which the IHME model predicted, that the fall will be very tough. Some people didn't think the fall would be tough, but as they had looked at the numbers and saw in places like Brazil how the austral winter affected infection rates, they saw that. And so the bad news is the next 6 months in the Northern Hemisphere will be very tough. The good news is that both the vaccines and the therapeutics, in particular the antibodies, are coming along and will start to bring that number way down.
But up to that point, presumably we must rely on masks and all these things that America has not been, and testing especially.
That's right. The behavior, the using the test for people, and then if they test positive, you contact trace, and those people make sure they're not infecting other people. The U.S., you know, still has a long ways to go on that. Although the numbers are so extreme, you do have finally more agreement that, you know, restaurants, bars, a number of things will have to forgo during this next 5-month period.
Were you surprised by how badly America has done on that?
It's mind-blowing. We have so many more PCR machines than per capita than any other country. You know, we have the CDC that has the deep expertise and had practiced how to communicate appropriately to the public. They made some mistakes early on, then they were completely muzzled. Nobody even knows the name of the people underneath Redfield who would have been the key communicators. And, you know, we had this so-called task force. So it is disappointing. We don't get to go back and change that. But, you know, we still have a chance to wear masks. In fact, that at healthdata.org, that's the IHME forecast, they show a line that if you have good mask wearing, you know, that you save now over 100,000 deaths in the U.S. over the next 6 months.
And that was Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates speaking with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite from the Bloomberg New Economy Forum. And you can catch more of that conversation online. We have it up for you at Bloomberg.com. Meantime, we're continuing to watch the market reaction following this rare rift between Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell when it comes to continuing the emergency lending facilities that have been put in place due to the pandemic. Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger joins me now with the latest. Danny, good morning. Of course, we saw the equity sell-off yesterday following news of that note from the secretary. Now, looks like traders are kind of in wait-and-see mode to see what happens after this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sort of a lot of the drama that happened overnight is really easing as we get closer to the U.S. session kicking off. But I think a lot of it is this idea that should some of these support programs disappear, that what happens is that the Fed steps in and papers over really any of the cracks with QE until a vaccine gets delivered. And it really is that vaccine that the markets continue to be focused on. Earlier today, I was talking about how with Sebastian Daly from Nordea about how the corporate bond buying program really is what fueled this credit rally. And he said this morning that, you know, to play devil's advocate, unless we see this huge uptick in inflation and you need economic growth and forward rates really picking up, that bond credit bubble isn't set to burst anytime soon.
Where could you see the rates markets going depending on how the Fed responds to this?
Well, certainly I think a lot of it will have to do with the underlying economy in terms of what we see with inflation. At the moment, we really need to see unemployment figures drop more significantly. We need to see the economy look more firm. And I think that's when we can really have the discussion of inflation picking up from here. Because, you know, at the moment, odds of any sort of fiscal package, which, you know, itself could increase inflation expectations, just looks far off at this point.
Are we starting to see any rate expectation when it comes to the Federal Reserve perhaps making a move on the balance sheet when they meet again next month?
Well, look, in terms of very drastic moves, the Fed has kind of been put in this odd position. And I really think that today just sort of increased this story about sort of this odd political position that the Fed is in. I mean, rarely do you get this sort of rift between the Treasury and the Fed. But we saw very clearly last time around that the Fed was very hesitant to sort of cut rates, had to balance sheet, just because we are in this strange transitional period in the U.S. So some of that, we might have some of that hangover carry into the next meeting, but it is very clear that we are in a place that the economy is suffering from increased lockdowns, more restrictions on mobility. And so pulling back on the Fed's programs comes at probably one of the worst times. And so that in itself could really give the Fed the impetus to sort of help inject more QE into the system.
Now, you've got to think in our last 30 seconds here that a lot of traders are thinking that the Fed is going to have to do something, given that not only are we seeing this surge in coronavirus cases, but we are in the middle of a lame duck session between administrations and facing the possibility of a fiscal cliff in Washington in just a couple of weeks.
That's exactly right. It's funny because one strategist I frequently speak with, Stephen Innes of SPI Asset Management, was saying that he thinks, you know, he counts himself separate from this, but he says he thinks markets are, you know, suffering from what he calls stimulus delusion, that McConnell will see his way to a $1.4 trillion stimulus package. So, I mean, maybe there are some corners of hope that it can get done.
Oh, we'll keep watching it. Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger, lots to keep an eye on as we head closer, not just to the Fed meeting, but that possibility of a government shutdown coming up in just a few weeks at the middle of next month. Danny, again, thank you for this. S&P futures right now down, but by just 3 points. Dow futures down 51. NASDAQ futures actually higher at the moment. They're up 13 points or a tenth of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.